Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on tax protest in the scriptures when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Well, then shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying that 17% of the $50,000 twice? You know, the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of that $50,000 in Social Security tax, and then they make you pay an additional 17% of the same $50,000 in income tax. Now, that means you pay 17% of that $7,650 twice. Now, that's a little bookkeeping trick, and that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from everyone who participates in the Social Security and income tax program. Now, what would you think if Sears, Penny's, or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS does? Now, don't you think that's just kind of special? For more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. That's the school, 30 hours. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about tithing. And tithing is the scriptural methodology that we have now converted into the income tax. You see, when our founding fathers created our taxing system in 1787, they didn't put in an income tax, and for good reason. It's because people tithed, and you're supposed to tithe. That's what God commanded us to do, to fund the functions of government that had to be funded in some other way. So they put on the equivalent of a sales tax. The sales tax was put on the imports and exports. In other words, if you wanted to bring something into or out of the country, you had to pay a tax on it. That way, the foreigners and the aliens, that is, the French who wanted to sell their wine in the United States, funded our federal government by paying these import taxes. That was a pretty good system, at least that's what our founding fathers thought. And then somebody came up with a wild new idea, and they said, nah, that's no good. We shouldn't be taxing the French and Germans and Chinese and everybody else. We should tax ourselves. And instead of this tithing program, which we're real tired of, we think we ought to have an income tax and a central bank with paper money so that we can have a real economy like all the nations around us. Well, just recently, George Bush came up with an improvement on this income tax program. It's a national sales tax. In Europe, they call it the VAT tax, called a value-added tax. President Bush said recently that abolishing the U.S. income tax system and replacing it with a national sales tax was an idea worth considering. It's an interesting idea, Bush told an Ask the President Bush or Ask President Bush campaign forum here. You know, I'm not exactly sure how big the national sales tax is going to have to be, but it's the kind of interesting idea that we ought to explore more seriously. Republican economists who speak regularly to the White House have said that the Bush campaign has been mulling the idea of an overhaul of the tax code as part of an agenda for a second term should Bush win re-election. Some lawmakers have floated ideas of simplifying the tax code by putting in place a flat income tax rate or a national sales tax. But those ideas have so far not gained much traction in Congress. Opponents say such a system would not be in the best interest of the poor and the middle class, who would pay the same tax rate as the wealthy, even though they have less disposable income. I pointed out last time that God didn't understand that. Fortunately, we have people like President Bush and Republican economists who can square God around and get him straightened out. You see, the tithing system taxes everybody uniformly. Everybody pays the same percentage, 10%. So if you're a banker and you're dealing in money, or you're a cattle rancher and you're dealing in calves, you pay 10%, 10% of your net, 10% of your increase. So if you make $1 million, you pay 10%, 100,000. If you make 100,000, you pay 10%, that's 10,000. If you make 10,000, you pay 10%, that's 1,000. Now, of course, the communists and socialists came in and they straightened us out. And they said, well, that ain't fair. Whether the rich should pay 90%, 40%, 50%. The middle class should pay 30%, 40%, 50%. The poor should pay nothing or very little. And so we have what's called the graduated or progressive income tax. That comes from the second plank of the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax. Heavy. Why shouldn't it be a light progressive income tax? Why does it have to be heavy? Well, in order for us to carry out the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. Property is to be abolished. Thou shalt not steal is the basis of property and property rights, so we've got to abolish thou shalt not steal. To do that, we came up with what we call the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, implemented through the 16th Amendment and the income tax. Now we have a heavy progressive income tax. It's not the only tax. We have more taxes, 14 of them to be exact. 14 taxes on your income. 14 taxes that take about 75% of everything that you create and produce. That includes your hidden taxes, social security, property taxes, gasoline taxes, and on it goes, 14 of them. Now the president's coming along saying, oh gosh, we got to have a national sales tax. Now, did you catch on to this? Pay attention. We're not going to abolish the income tax. What we're going to do is we're going to augment the income tax with this value-added tax. You know, we just can't seem to learn enough from the Europeans. We learned about central banking and income tax and communism, got it all from the Europeans. I guess what we need to do is go back to Europe and watch the Europeans and figure out how we can tax ourselves even more. Then we wonder why it is our jobs are being exported to India and Pakistan and why it is that American business doesn't want to hire people in the United States. Well, I'm an old-timey businessman and I wouldn't hire anybody. I am a businessman and I don't hire anybody. I wouldn't have an employee if you brought him in here and he'd work twice as hard as you do. They cost too much. Well, the God system was tithing, and what we've done here is we have counterfeited this tithing system. So last time I was reading here in Numbers chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. And going on here concerning this tithe, 10% tax, and this, God says, your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. So you also shall offer a heave offering unto the Eternal of all of your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give, which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all of your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Eternal of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore you shall say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites, as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And as you shall eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, when you have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. Lest you die. Gee, does that mean it's a capital felony? Well, it is for the Levites. See, the Levites were to collect the taxes. And here's the way the system was set up, and you can read about this in Exodus chapter 18, Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is the judicial system, where we had judges over tens, fifties, hundreds, thousands, and ten thousands. So when you paid your taxes, you'd pay your taxes over here at the local level. They, in turn, would pass it up to the higher level and higher level and higher level. And finally, the Aaronic priesthood, which was the smaller national priesthood and operated the temple, operated the national government, they, in turn, would receive 10% of the total tithe of the nation from the Levites. All right? Well, you know our founding fathers in 1787 followed that principle? Yeah, I know it's kind of crazy, but listen to this. You see, the states were sovereign, and we created a federal government of limited power. That's what the federal constitution is all about. It's limited power. The Bible is a system of limited power from the bottom up. And so our federal constitution is designed as a limited government from the bottom up. And the most powerful people were the local people at the county level. And then they delegated their power up the line, and the federal government had certain duties to carry out, but it was limited. Today, the federal government's all-powerful. I mean, the president's telling you he's going to put on a national sales tax. Not only is it not mentioned in our Constitution, it's not mentioned in the Scriptures either. Of course, then, there's a lot of things that are in our national government that we didn't follow the Bible on, you know, like OSHA and the EPA and the IRS and the State Tax Commission, and all of these bureaucracies that are eating us out of house and home. Of course, you know, Americans today would rather pay an income tax of 20, 30, 40% than they would a tithe of 10%. And when God told these people back in Moses' time, he said, what you do is you collect that tithe, and then you take a tithe of that tithe to run the national government, the Aaronic priesthood. That means that if we were to follow that principle today, we'd collect all of our taxes here at the local level, pass it up to the state level, and the states would take 10% of the total take and send it to Washington. You think that would limit government? Well, that's the system we had at Mount Sinai, and we turned it down cold. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we came to our last judge, Samuel, and we said to Samuel, we're not going to have you to rule over us. We're not going to have God to rule over us. We're going to have a king like all the nations around us. And you know what one of the things was that our God warned us about? He said, you know, this king is going to tax you to death. He is going to tax you right out of existence. And he said in verse 18, he said, and when this happens to you, you'll cry out to me in that day, but I won't hear you. So if you're thinking about praying to Jesus about your income tax and about the oppression that you're suffering from your government, you can forget it because he's already told you. You can read it for yourself. I didn't write it. Just go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. He says, I ain't listening to that crap. Now, there's a way for you to bail out. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, that, you know, all's lost and you're stuck with the income tax whether you like it or not. But as I pointed out last time, our problem is that we volunteered for this income tax. We volunteered through Social Security or your federal tax ID number. And, you know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And most Americans practice Federal Reserve notes, mortgages, commercial paper, and the penalty for using commercial paper is spelled out in Leviticus 19:35 and 36. It says you're not to use commercial paper, not to steal. Well, hang on. We've got to take a break here, and we'll be right back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it. A six-pack of Budweiser has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, you know governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms, but what is it that the government is producing? What is it that the government does to produce, prepare, or deliver for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they buy ingredients to make, prepare, cook, serve, and pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? And why does the government get paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Well, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, you know, the income tax is politically correct. It's good religion. And it's non-confrontational. It's what we all want to hear. But it's a lie. It's bad law. And the concept, the belief, the expression, Jesus paid his taxes, as Mark Twain used to say, is not only a lie, it's a damn lie. It's a lie because it's the exact antithesis of tithing. And the reason that the tithing system was put into operation was to support the government at the local and the national level. It's what it's designed for. You've got churchmen today running around collecting the tithe for their religious pursuits. I've never met any religious guys that are Levites, have you? The law specifically here in Numbers 18, verses 20 through 32, says that this tithe to be collected is to be collected by Levites. No, that's like being a Pole or a German or a French. You know, what if God said, well, I'm going to give it to the French to collect? Well, what do you got Germans and Swedes and Norwegians collecting it for? The tithe was to be collected by one family of Israel, the Levites, and nobody else. And they were to be the civil service employees. They're to be your judges, your policemen, firemen, all of your civil service employees. Here in America, you got everybody working for the civil service. And then you got all these church people over here. They're claiming to be Levites. Well, spiritual Levites, I've heard that term used. How would you like to be a spiritual German, or a spiritual Norwegian, or a spiritual Russian? Come on, guys. You're either a Russian, a Norwegian, or a German, or you're not. One or the other. The only people that have authority to collect this tithe, that's, by the way, a holy tithe, that's because the money belongs to God, is for his agents to collect it. Just thought I'd pass that one out there. See how you like it. See how it flies. Now, going on here a little bit further, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants, not to the Levites. No, sir. Not to my servants, the Levites. Nope, nope. He's going to give it to his officers and his servants. And that's exactly what your federal and state governments do. They take the tithe and they give that tithe to their servants. And those servants haven't got any connection whatsoever with Levites or the Levitical priesthood. In Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 through 15, he says, when you've made an end of tithing all of your tithes, tithes, more than one, tax, one, tax, singular, taxes, plural, tithe, one, tithes, two. Just thought I'd point that out to you. You got 14 taxes here that you're paying here to support your government and get all these goodies that you want. God had more than one tithe. And he said, tithing all of your tithes of your increase, the third year. Third year? Gosh, there's some third year comes in here for tithing, which is the year of tithing. Oh, my God. What? Hey, when was the last time you went to church and had the preacher explain to you, hey, listen, let me tell you about tithing in the third year. Have you ever heard one? I never did. I don't think that a preacher could find tithes or tithing in the Bible with both hands at high noon with a road map. And if there is one of them animals out there, I never met him. Have you? Remember, we're here in Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 through 15. Wild new concept here, tithes, plural. When you've given it unto the Levites, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Eternal your God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all of your commandments which you have commanded me. And I have not transgressed your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, and neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Eternal my God, and I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel in the land which you have given us, as you swore unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. All right, so I'll just pass this one on to you, and as we progress along, I'll show you how this works. You got three tithes. Tithe number one runs your local and national governments. Tithe number two is your paid vacation program, and that's because in the Bible you have 19 paid holidays. That's right, 19 paid holidays. Now, tell me that this isn't a good program. Do you have 19 paid holidays where you work? Well, here's your boss. He comes along and says, you know, boys and girls, I'm really a nice guy. And I signed this wonderful vacation package contract with your union. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give you 2 weeks of paid vacation. And if you've been here for a certain number of years, we'll give you 3 weeks or 4 weeks of paid vacation. Well, listen, did you know that there are two annual holy days at the beginning, at the end of the year? One's called the Passover, the other's called the Feast of Tabernacles, and that they're 8 days long each. Well, that's 8 and 8 is 16. That's 16 days right there. Then you've got three other holidays in between, three other holidays. You get the Feast of Weeks, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Trumpets. That's 19 paid holidays. And your boss gives you the money for these holidays. Of course, these are called holy days, H-O-L-Y. We drop the I, put in an I, and we call them holidays. Kind of like Holiday Inn. So we're going to go on holiday. That's what they do in England. They go on holiday. Canada, they go on holiday. They don't go on vacation. Of course, they don't ride in elevators either. They take the lift. And they don't open the hood. They lift the bonnet. They get strange customs over there in Canada and Great Britain. But your boss passes out your 19 paid holidays over here like he's doing you some kind of a big favor. Did you know that God himself told you to save one-tenth of everything that you create and produce so that you can practice these 19 paid holidays? And your boss doesn't give you any interest on your money. You don't have it. God has a little penalty. He says if you take anything out of your second or third tithe for yourself, you got to replace it with a 20% penalty. Yeah, that's right. There's three tithes. First tithe, second tithe, and third tithe. And this third tithe that's being spoken of here in Deuteronomy 26, called the year of tithing, is done for the poor, the fatherless. This is your welfare statute. You know, if you would practice these laws instead of practicing income tax, instead of complaining about all of these welfare moms, you know, in Harlem and all over the United States, not just in Harlem, I guess, but all over the United States that are collecting all of your hard-earned money over here, that instead of that, you'd be passing it out yourself in your local community. Do you think that you could pass out, just, you know, to give yourself a little idea here, let's suppose you're making $100,000 a year. And this is your third tithe year, so you got first tithe, second tithe, third tithe, and you take your third tithe, $10,000. Do you think you could dispense that $10,000 more effectively and more efficiently and to people that need it more, yourself? Or do you think if you send it off to Washington, D.C., Tommy Thompson or somebody else there in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare can do it better for you? Well, in America today, that's what we're doing. We pass out our third tithe money. Of course, we don't just pay that once every 3 years. We pay it every year, don't we? Pay it every year. And then our government officials are passing that money out. And do they ever get enough? I've never seen a time yet when our local welfare lady ever said, you know, don't send any more. We've already got more than we can handle. We just don't know where we're going to put all this tax money that you're sending us. Well, believe it or not, back in the olden days, that's what Nehemiah and Ezra had to do. They had to say, hey, shut off these tithes over here. We get too much. The warehouses are all full. There's no more room. So back off. Now, notice here in 1 Samuel 8, verses 15 through 17, God says he's going to take, this is your government now, this king that you wanted, George Bush, he's going to take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and of your and give it to his officers and to his servants, and he will make or take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work, and he'll take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. Well, Americans today have fulfilled that prophecy to the T. That's exactly where we're at. We're now the servants of the government. The government doesn't ask us, they tell us, don't they? They don't ask, they tell you. This is the way it's going to be, and if you don't do it this way, we're going to lock you up in prison. We're going to charge you with tax evasion. Now, the tithe has always been voluntary. See, there's no penalty for not paying your tithe. Well, I say there's no penalty. That is, there's no overt penalty. They're not going to put you in jail. What God said was, I will pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. It's over here in First. I guess it isn't First. It's in Malachi 3, verse 8. God comes along and he says, now listen, you pay attention now. And if you'll follow my statutes here in Malachi 3, verse 8, he says, will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, that there will be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not pour you out a blessing, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hey, is there anybody out there listening to me right now? You're making too much money. You gotta call God and you don't tell him, hey, wait a minute, God, you're sending me too much. I don't know what I'm going to do with it all. Slow it down, would you? I don't run across anybody here in the United States that's complaining about having too much. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Eternal Host. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Eternal Host. Looks like to me that we Americans have been robbing God, not paying our tithes, so we're instead suffering under a curse called locusts, bad weather, hurricanes, and such things as income tax and Social Security that scoffs up and takes all of our property. Don't you? Hang on, we'll be back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and the editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, when people call the law school, they often ask me how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Well, keep in mind that most of these topics that you hear on the radio, I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law back in 872 A.D. He codified it into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 of those statutes are incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. That's recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, verse 8. And it includes negligence, insurance, and taxes, such as income, property, and Social Security taxes. And these IRS tax laws are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of Scripture. And they work a theft on everyone who participates in them. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and that's the basis of my tax and status school. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write, first of all, for my free general law CD package. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can order yours by simply calling the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, send me an email. Just go to georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, what we're really looking at here then, if you think about it, is a counterfeit of the tithing laws. Back in the early part of the century, from 1900 to 1913, there was a move on by the aristocracy here in the United States, you know, the bankers primarily, but the robber barons. And what they wanted was an income tax. What they really wanted was control over the United States government. And that would give them ultimate control over the people of the United States. That's what this income tax is all about. It's a control tax. If I can control your money, I can control you. That's how simple that is. And the United States government controls your money. You're a member of a giant economy. When the economy prospers, you prosper. And when the economy isn't prospering, you don't prosper. A limited government is a government that limits the amount of money that the government has. Because if the government has no limits to its money, there's no limits to its power. And your government has total control over the money supply, and they have total control over the taxes and the taxes that you pay. Back in ancient times, under Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 10, verses 37 and 38, and here's what we read about the income tax. It says, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests and to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage, and the priests, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites, when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, unto the treasure house. So the Levites collected the tithe, and then they take the tithe of a tithe and gave it to the Aaronic priesthood. Religious people see the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood as being church. They see that as singing songs and jumping up and down on the ground, biting the bushes, or turning around three times and shaking bat's knuckles under the full moon. That's not the system that God set up out of Mount Sinai. The Bible is a law book. The Bible is a book on international geopolitics and government, not religion. The religious people got hold of it, and they have converted people's thinking into religion. And these religionists have taken the tithe. The tithe belongs to the government, not to the church. The Levitical priesthood was a system of judges. When you broke a law, you went to the Levite. The Levite was the judge. You do the same thing today. You break a law, the high priest servant gives you a ticket and takes you into the judge. The judge levies a fine. The fine is $100, and then there's court costs. Well, the court costs are the judge's retirement fund. Now, they would take that fine, and they would spread that fine out, and they would give a portion of it to the Aaronic priesthood, but when they collected the tithes, the Aaronic priesthood got 10%. So let's suppose that our government ran, well, let's say, on $100 billion a year. In 1960, the federal government's budget was $100 billion. That $100 billion would have been a tithe of the tithe. In other words, we'd have collected $1 trillion in taxes, tithes, and the federal government would have got $100 billion. $900 billion would have run all the rest of the government. That's the way the game was played. Our founding fathers adopted that system. In fact, the same percentage is sent from your local state court. When you're fined $100 in your local county court, $10 of it, 10% goes to the state. That's the same ratio. That's the same percentage that we see in the tithing system. In fact, when you take a look at our dual judicial system, we have a federal judicial system with 689 judges in it. And then we have a state system with tens of thousands of judges nationwide. It's the state system that is the bigger system. The federal system just operates in a very limited, narrow sphere at the national level. That's the way the Aaronic priesthood worked. It operated at the national level, not at the local level. But all of the taxes were collected at the local level, and then they went up to Washington. That isn't the way it is today. Today, we're collecting money from Washington, D.C. The tentacles of our national government reach into every city, every state, every hamlet, every county, every burg in the nation. OSHA, the EPA, the state, the OSHA and the EPA, I should say, first of all, and the federal system of bureaucracy operates in every state in the land. It's an autonomous law of and by itself. In fact, federal law supersedes and trumps state law. And that's because the feds have usurped the powers of the people through this income tax. It's not an accident. It's done on purpose. And they do it in collusion with the churches. You see, the federal government gives the churches 501c3 tax exemption. The churches then work in lockstep with the government. When the government says Jesus paid his taxes, the church says, yes, Jesus paid his taxes. And they cite these two scriptures, Matthew 22 and Matthew 17, off point and out of context. They just plain lie to you. Jesus paid tithes, and he paid tithes to the Levitical priesthood. He did not pay taxes to Caesar, and he didn't pay taxes to Herod. And if he were here today, he would not be paying taxes to Washington or taxes to Jefferson City. And he wouldn't be involved in trade, commerce, business, or industry either. He'd be involved in private business. Now, here's an interesting little sidelight. Property has never been assessed or taxed in the United States. I know somebody's going to say, oh, you dummy. Well, I got a property tax on my house. No, you don't. There's no property tax on your house. It's an ad valorem tax. Ad valorem, it's a value-added tax. Nobody's taxing your house. They're taxing the value of your house. Somebody came out there and said, your house is worth $100,000 and the mill levy is 30 mills. You're paying $300 a year on that house. On the value of the house. Ad valorem tax, not a property tax. Same thing is true with your income tax. You're over here paying an income tax and you say, well, they're taxing my income. No, they're not. It's against the law to tax your wages. What they did was they craftily took your gold away from you under House Joint Resolution 192 back in 1933, gave you Federal Reserve notes. The tax is on the commercial paper, not on your labor. It's against the law to tax your labor. But you voluntarily converted your labor into dollars, and they're taxing the dollars. And those dollars are commercial. You know, if you deal in gold and silver coin, get rid of your Social Security number, deal in thou shalt not steal in property instead of practicing from each according to his ability and to each according to his need, charging usury and interest and practicing commercial paper and commerce, you know, you'd have a lot different outcome in life. You know that people call here quite often and they complain bitterly about the government and about how the government's raping them, robbing them, and pillaging them. I agree, but you did it voluntarily. Everybody volunteers. Now, sometimes people will go to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, and they'll say, well, gee, look at this. In Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10, gosh, here's tithing. Yeah, listen to this. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. By the way, that guy there is Jesus of Nazareth. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, very first verse, first, second, third verse, tells you who this guy is. The guy that we call Jesus Christ is this Melchizedek, the son or the priest of the Most High God. who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, who abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And truly, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and he blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them, of whom it is witness that he lives, and as I say, or as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. People will quote that scripture from Hebrews 7 and say, well, you see, we're preachers now, you see, we should be paid these tithes, because, you know, we are the spiritual Levites. They're lion, wolves, and sheep's clothing. They're not Levites at all. The Levites weren't running churches. The Levites were running the national government. The Levites were the judges. They operated out of a temple. You do the same thing today. You make your laws in the temple. Here in our state, we call it the State House in Jefferson City. In Washington, D.C., we call it the Capitol. In ancient Greece, you called it the Parthenon. Those temples that you see in ancient times scattered all over was the place of where you did your public business. You've got them right now in your county courthouse. It's your local temple. These temples that we build all over America, in our county seats, in our state capitals, in our national capital, are the temples, boys and girls. Nothing more, nothing less. The people who work in them assume the role of the Levitical and the Aaronic priesthoods. And those are your public servants. Those are the people that belong to the civil service. They should be Levites, and they should be collecting the tithe. But they're not Levites, and they're collecting taxes. That's why I said the tax, in reality, is simply a counterfeit of the tithing system. Ah, what tangled webs we weave when at first we seek to deceive. Hey, we got to take a little break here. We'll come back, and we'll tell you a little bit more about this tithe and tax when we return. Don't go away. I'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's a foreign and an alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. These foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes. And then we practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods called government. And we don't get away with these crimes either. We pay up to 74% of everything we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes owned by the savings and loan companies. We drive cars owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has a $70,000 consumer debt. We owe a $6 trillion national debt. We're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. Our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide, and our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme. And you and I live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught to call all of this prosperity. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at our Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that better way, and they gave us Article 1, Section 10 that says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine and send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about taxes in the Old Testament. Tax protest in the Old Testament. You know, we've been complaining about and protesting taxes for thousands of years. This isn't some new phenomenon that just came up after World War II. But for some reason, we haven't been able to solve that tax problem yet. Moses gave us a taxing system. It's called tithing in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 31, verses 5 through 10, and here's a little story about the collection of this tithe, the tax. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the fields, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and of sheep, and the tithe of the holy things which are consecrated unto the eternal their God, and they laid them by heaps. And in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and they finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Eternal and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps, and Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Eternal, we have had enough to eat, and we have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and that which is left is his great store. They had more than they could use. In fact, there's other scriptures in here that tell us that they had more, that they didn't have a place to put it all. America used to be like that. I can remember back in the 40s and 50s, we used to have grain harvests that were so, they used to call them bumper harvests, and they'd be so big. They'd have to stack the grain out in the middle of the street. They'd windrow it down the middle of the streets in Kansas. They didn't have any place else to put it. That's when you're dealing in property. When you deal in property, you're going to have so much wealth, you won't know what to do with it. When you deal in money, there are plenty of hands out there to steal it. But when you deal in property, what are you going to do with it? So you got the same problem. Where do you put it? Well, in my case, I take my cows and my sheep down to the local Levite, and the local Levite takes those, and he may sell them down at the auction barn. He may convert it to gold and silver coin. My job is to deliver it. And when I have 10, I deliver one to him. That's what the law requires. In fact, there's a statute over here in Leviticus 27 that says you can't redeem it. I can take it to the Levite. He can sell it, but I can't. You see, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Eternal. So it all belonged to God, period. And it's holy unto the Eternal. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add therefore the fifth part thereto. If you steal off your tithes, you got to make up that tithe, and then you got to pay 20%. Well, it's less than the 60% that the IRS charges. They always give you a penalty of 60%, but God gave you a penalty of 20. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod. So when we go to tithe on our sheep, what we do is we take all of the sheep, put them in a corral. Then we open up the corral, the chute to the corral, into a loading chute, and we let the animals run underneath a rod. So I cut a stick, and I stick it over, and then I put a man on each side of the stick. And one man counts. He goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one that goes under the rod belongs to God. The guy on the other side keeps his eyeball on that particular sheep so that we don't lose count. We don't lose sight of him. And listen to what you have to do with that particular sheep or calf. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Eternal. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. So it doesn't make any difference if it's male or female, if it's got a broken horn or it doesn't. Whatever the tenth one is, that's the tithe. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. So if I say, oh, I didn't want that one to be a tithe. Hey, I wanted that one for a breeding ram. Well, God says, well, it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Eternal commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. So there are certain rules here to paying the taxes for paying the tithe. And the purpose for these rules, these laws, is to give us an abundance. Now, 10% in my view is a whole lot better than 20, 30, or 40%. It's a whole lot better than 75%. Your Social Security tax alone is 16%. Your income tax at the bottom end is 17%. The two of them together is 33%. Take a look at the taxes and your withholdings. Take a look at your gasoline tax. You know, in this state, it's 39 cents a gallon. You know, you go out here and buy 1,000 gallons of gasoline, it costs you $390 in taxes. So the government's taxing the pizza, they're taxing the beer, they tax the soda pop, they tax everything, don't they? And you have to go out and buy, and that's called a hidden tax, and the hidden tax is 16 or 17%. When you go out and you rent a motel room, you've got several taxes on there. The reason that you're paying $50 for that motel room is because the room is still $5, but now you're paying a $45 tax. And you just keep adding the taxes on. Pretty soon you're paying $50 for a motel room that, when I was a kid, used to rent for $5. Now, the tithe requires 10% of the goods themselves, not a money equivalent. It's a tithe. A tax is a tithe on property or labor, and on an excise, not on an excise privilege, I should say. It's called an excise tax when you pay an income tax. And there are two taxes in the United States. We call them direct taxes and excise taxes. Now listen to the court in the following quote. In Diefendorf versus Calais, cited at 51 Idaho 619, income is devised as something derived from property, labor, skill, ingenuity, or sound judgment, or from two or more in combination. So back in 1932, the state Supreme Court of Idaho gave us a definition. What is income? It's something. How much something have you got? Whatever the something is, the something that we call income is derived from property. It's not property. It is derived from property. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States explained it to us. It works fairly simple. You go out here and you got a pear tree, and the pear tree gives us 100 bushels of pears. And the tax rate's 10%, so 10 bushels is the tax. The next year, the tree only produces 50 bushels. No, tax rate's the same, 10%. So we take 5 bushels, pay that over to the government for tax. Third year, the tree doesn't produce any pears at all. What do? Go out and cut off 2 limbs and a branch? No, sir, the tax is not on the something, the tree. It's not on property, which is the tree. It's on the produce that comes from the tree. You don't tax the tree, you tax the pears. There, you take a portion of the pears. So you go to work, and they come in here and they tax it. Labor is not taxable. So you convert your labor to dollars, you earn $100, and the tax rate is 17%, so I take $17. You took a non-taxable labor and converted it into a taxable income. You know, back in 1933, the politicians knew full well what they were doing. The people of the country didn't know then and don't know to this day. They haven't been able to figure it out. And that's because a good understanding of all they who do his commandments, and people who do not obey the law of God have a poor understanding of law. Have you ever heard a preacher teach the law? Preachers teach religion. Have you ever had a politician come to you and say, let me explain this law to you? The politicians enact laws. The preachers shut up about those laws, and the two work in a conspiracy to defraud us of our labor. The two of them working together. Deprive us of our labor. Government gives us the laws, and the preachers tell us these laws come from God. The government enacts a law, and then the preacher comes along and says, Jesus paid his income tax. No, he didn't. And Jesus paid his tithe, not his income tax. And as I pointed out earlier, that income tax is a fraud. But it's not a fraud in the same way that people in the tax protest movement allege that it's a fraud. It's a fraud because it's a lie about the law of God, which deals with tithes. Our founding fathers did not interfere with the tithing system. But rather, they financed government, and they financed that government through a system of taxes on imports and exports, and the churches financed their operations through free will offerings. Well, where in the world did these churches get the idea that they could come in and exact a tithe? They're not Levites. I challenge any of you religious guys out there to come in here and show me your genealogy and prove to me that you're a Levite. As soon as you do, I'll give you my tithe. Hey, we're just about out of time. We'll be back and finish this off next time. If you want more information about the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Well, there's a signal says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.